Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. It is time for Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it, and we have a great lineup tonight. Thanks so much to Chris Tubbs. The two producers of this show is Jonathan Lowe from 7 to 9, and then from 9 to 10 with Chris Tubbs doing making sure that we have great guests. So we appreciate it. I am excited to introduce you to a person that I've never really heard of, a person that I've ever met, but I love reading about her work. Jasper Lipak is joining us tonight. And why? Because she released her latest single called My Own Moves, an album so strong, and you can pre-order it as of October 13th, which was 2 days ago. Of course, Jonathan, you know I want to hear this song desperately. I've been trying to make sure I hear it. Let's hear that tune. That's what we're trying to do, is really realize that it's our own moves. I love that in this song. Let me tell you a little bit about Jasper. Minneapolis-based folk charting songwriter Jasper Lipak announces the release of her new single, My Own Moves. And that's coming out, just came out on Friday the 13th. The first taste of her new album, So Strong, coming out in January and available for pre-order now. So get on it. The song is a radio-friendly folk Americana tune about being confident in your own skin. She wrote a song, it says, that not long after reading The Dance of Anger by Harriet Lerner, Jasper says, and girls and women need more opportunities to practice leading in order to experience what our own moves feel like in our bodies. That's such a great understanding. Welcome to WCCO Radio, Jasper. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Gerlin.
Welcome. Okay, so you must be excited that My Own Moves is happening and the album is being released, or just was released. And this is a big deal for you. Which album? Is this your first, second, third, fourth album?
It's my 10th. Wow. I can't even believe I'm saying that out loud. Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So you recorded and mixed this, was done by Alicia Healy at the Winter Blue Room in Seattle, Washington. I love that you are traveling, getting all this done. Also mastered by Greg Ryerson at Rare Form Mastering in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The photographs were taken by Kaylin Lowes. I'm so glad you put that in here because a lot of people don't know who does our photographs. That's a smart move. And then single art design by Carla Colahan, the Inspired Foundry. This particular team that you've put together, and of course there are more musicians that we can talk about, especially Ben Cook Feltz, which I think he's remarkable, Alicia Healy, electric bass and harmonies, Dave Bush, drums and percussion, Anthony, is it Irig?
Yep.
Oh, the dobro. I love the dobro. Yep. It just sounds beautiful. So now that you've done this, tell me what it is that you thought when you first started writing this album. And at the end, was it exactly what you thought it would be?
No, it's not exactly what I thought it would be. But I think that's the whole process of recording and working with a producer and other musicians. Like, I always want people to bring their own musicality and intuition into the songs that I write. And so I decided to record with Alicia Healy because she did my last album, and I lived in Seattle for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And recently, I recently moved back to Minneapolis. And so the album kind of got recorded between the two cities.
Wow, that's
Seattle
amazing.
Musicians in Minneapolis. Yeah. which was, you know, like a little bit stressful with the logistics of that, but it felt really good. And yeah, Ben Cook felt, he's been playing piano with me. I think we did our first show together in like 2012. And he would just play with me every time I came back to the Twin Cities. And it's just great to live in the same city as him, because his piano really influenced a lot of the recording.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. I must say that as an adult, you wrote It's sometimes hard to trust my own moves because my body has this repeated memory of trusting and following someone else. And the song that you are really promoting right now is called My Own Moves. And the album itself, So Strong. When you look back, do you give yourself time not to listen to the songs until, you know, you feel like it's the right moment? Or do you immediately start listening to the songs and you stick with that until it is released and people are buying it?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I think I'm pretty involved in the process. So I was involved in all the different choices for, you know, the different instruments and arrangements, and very present with everything. And I listen over and over again to the songs just to make sure they're what I want them to be. Is that kind of answering your question?
Yeah, it is kind of answering my question. And I know it's a hard thing. I have brothers and sisters who are who write songs as well. I don't.
Yeah.
I just want you to know it's just way too much for me, honey. I just get nervous. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, does that make sense? Is that what I wanted to say? But you seem to have no problem with it because you've been doing this for how long?
I wrote my first song in 2002. And then I had to learn how to like sing and play guitar and perform. And that took, you know, a lot of practice and open mics and stuff. But I think like when I started writing, and you know, I write very much in back and forth with my instruments. So I started learning guitar and writing at the same time. I just kind of found my language. I think I also have a hard time feeling like, am I communicating what I want to? Did I say that correctly? Like in conversation. And I think song form just helps me kind of really figure out what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And then, and then having the melody to go with it can bring the emotion into it. And I don't know. It's like my favorite way to communicate. I can't stop doing it. I just love writing songs.
Yeah, it's got to feel really great. And something I read about you that I found quite remarkable is that some of your songs are inspired by books. Tell me about that.
Yes. I've always been a reader. And when I lived in Seattle, I was so fortunate to stumble upon this group called the Bushwick Book Club of Seattle, which is a collective of songwriters who write songs inspired by books. There's a performance almost every month, and there's, you know, like 200 musicians in this community. So you sign up to do one or two or three a year.
Right.
And it was so fun to just like read a book all together. You know, we all read the same book, and then everyone wrote their own song inspired by it. And all the songs were always so different. And I came out with so many songs that I never would have written otherwise without that community. And getting into that habit and being in that community, I feel like I'm writing more songs by just books I'm naturally reading, like The Dance of Anger by Harriet Lerner, which is such a powerful book, especially for women. Have you read it?
No, I have not. My goodness.
Yep.
You are doing great things. And the last thing I want to mention and ask you about is that you focus on feminist themes. And I'm such a feminist, including songs about choice, pregnancy, parenthood, and caregiving. Are you going to add more to that, or do you feel like that is saying it all?
I can add a little more to it. I mean, this album, So Strong, that's coming out in January. Mm-hmm. I started writing the songs around the time the pandemic started. And I think just like caregiving was so hard. Like that time was just a particularly hard time for parents because we lost that support from our village. I went through a miscarriage about a month before Roe v. Wade was overturned. Mm. And so that was like really raw emotion that I was able to put into a song. So this album is a song that's really about like I have a song on there that really honors the humanity of women, because going through that miscarriage process, I really understood that abortion care and miscarriage care are the same, and we need access to that. And so that's on the album. I also have a song that really celebrates like pregnancy and childbirth and talks about that idea of like getting your old body back after you have a baby, which is crazy. And I have two songs on the album inspired by this wonderful book that I also think everyone should read. It's called Like a Mother by Angela Garbez. And it just goes into the science and culture of pregnancy. And it is fascinating. So I also have a song on my album about the science of the placenta, which is a very like kind of hilarious science.
Hilarious,
song.
But real, right? Hilarious,
yeah, hilarious,
but real.
But real. Yeah, yeah. Like a song honoring that, the science about the placenta, because it's fascinating. And then just a couple songs that really dig deep into that idea of like caregiving can be hard because it's this.
Exactly. I have to say to you, Jasper, it's really quite remarkable what you're doing and what you have done. And I hope you will keep doing it, make albums until you just are not on the face of the earth anymore. Just keep going because we all need that. Okay. We really do. We all need that. Now, has the album been released? And if so, tell us where we can get it.
So I've just released the single, My Own Moves, which came out on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then I'm running a Kickstarter campaign right now to help me fund the cost of recording. And so that's happening. If you want to get into that, you can pre-order and get some fun other rewards. And then the album will come out on January 26th. And I'm going to do a release show at Ice House Minneapolis.
How about
28th.
That? That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to you getting this out and out of your heart. And we really appreciate you joining us tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
You too.
All right, everyone. Coming up next is Jennifer Weir. She's a major force in the film and in getting the film made. You want to know what the film is? That's coming up next.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett & Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm excited to have you guys hear so much about what's happening in the arts and entertainment world here in the great state of Minnesota, and not just the Twin Cities, but I really mean the great state. There are great things going on all over this particular state. I'm excited to introduce to you Jennifer Weir. She's a major force in the film and in getting the film made, plus leads the Midwest chapter of Tyco Drummers. That's really cool. Now, if you want to know why I was talking about she's a major force in the film and in getting the film made, here's what the film is. The film is called Finding Her Beat. And it's getting its U.S. theatrical run with Twin City shows at the main theater from October 20th to the 26th. So you actually still have time to go and see this particular event. And I want to talk to Jennifer about why this is so important to her. Jennifer Weir, welcome to CCO.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so tell me why this particular piece is so important to you.
Oh, well... You know, it's my family is in it, for one, and it's basically, like, follows this artistic journey that I took in creating this, you know, this incredible project of assembling the world's best female taiko players.
Wow.
For this historic concert that happened just on the eve of the COVID shutdown. And so it was this moment in history. It was like the biggest artistic project I'd ever taken on. And then it has this second life as this film that is more about is about more than just taiko or a concert, but is really about, you know, highlighting and centering women's stories, especially when they've been sidelined in their art form or, you know, marginalized in some way, which I know happens in a lot of different fields, but for taiko drumming, that's something that was traditional for thousands of years. Women weren't allowed to drum. And then in recent years, that's changed. And so this film is sort of a love letter to taiko arts and a love letter to these incredible women pioneers.
That's amazing. What are their ages? What, you know, are we talking from 18 years old and up?
Yeah, well, so the women that we gathered and non-binary were from different, you know, represented a diversity of generations as well as geographies and styles and philosophies, etc. So we have folks who are in their 30s and folks who are in their 60s, all of who are amazing professional artists.
Wow, incredible. Knowing that this has been a part of your life now, where do you do, or I should say, what do you do next?
Oh, well, you know, we're in the middle of this theatrical run, which is exciting. We're, you know, and then there's always the carrot of the award season, and you never know what happens with that.
Right.
Next we'll go on-demand video, so anyone can download it. But I'm really hoping that someday we can kind of get the band together. If we can find, you know, a coalition of producers who can come together, I think that this show would have legs on Broadway and on stages of the world, because it is like the most jaw-dropping, inspiring, energetic, beautiful combination of dance and singing and drumming and sort of culture all wrapped into one. So I think it's what the world needs right now, honestly.
You know, it's amazing when you say something like that, because it really matters what you say. And to say that, you know, this could really change not just your life, but the lives of others, whether it's the taiko drums or drummers, or if it's something else or other people. But to know that this piece is out, you must be just thrilled about it. Are you starting to hear from people who have seen it? And if so, what have you been hearing?
You know, it took a while for me to, you know, anytime you personally are in something, it's hard to be objective, right? And so it's actually, we've been in over almost 50 film festivals, and we've been all over the country and even all over the world. And what's been so heartwarming is how people respond to the film. Even if they don't care about taiko drumming, or maybe they don't identify with the Asian American community or anything like that, they're just coming out of curiosity for a film. And they really are moved, and they come up and talk to me, and it's so heartfelt and it's so wonderful. And I feel like I've built all these beautiful connections with people who resonate with that struggle to be seen, who resonate with that, you know, feeling marginalized or invisible, and just want to feel powerful and, you know, kind of claim your space. So I feel that it, and plus, you know, it's honestly, it's a, I would say it's a much more feel good documentary film. Sometimes documentaries are wonderfully challenging. But this is one that you can go to and then feel good about life after. Do you know what I mean?
Like, right.
It sort of as an injection of hope and energy. And I, you know, I think that people have been really responsive, and it's been just very humbling and heartwarming and certainly encouraging, you know, for all of us.
So injecting hope, let's talk about that for just a minute, because here's the thing, you know, you pour yourself out, and then you have to find a way to build it up again. So where do you go to make sure that you have the support that will lift you up so that you can do more?
Oh, it's my family.
Yep, mine
1,000%.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they're everything. Like, if things are going good with your family, there's nothing you can't do. And if you're in a challenging spot in life, as we always are at some point or another, then you're like, that's all that matters, you know? So I feel like it's the most grounding and empowering thing. And especially having a daughter, like, you know, it's like you have a reason to be fighting this fight, you know? We always want to leave things better for the next generation, for sure. So, yeah, for me, it's absolutely family. And the other thing, too, is like I'm so lucky. I found the most incredible
crew of friends in the Asian American community, like here, like artists, Korean adoptees, people who just like get me on a cellular level that I can really lean on and commiserate and laugh with and cry with. And so I really am lucky that I found my people here.
Now, people that want to see the movie, where do they go?
Well, we are at the Maine Cinema, formerly St. Anthony, Maine, and we actually are opening October 18th and running through the 26th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and also, if you happen to be listening from L.A., we're running October 20th through 26th there, and we're going to be running in Chicago and Detroit, and we just wrapped up tomorrow's a screening in Boston. So we are trying to, you know, we're trying to get it out there as much as possible.
Oh, no, you're not trying. You're doing. You're doing it. So keep doing it. Seriously, don't ever doubt yourself. Just keep going. And I'm absolutely thrilled that you're doing this. So I hope to hear more from you about movies or films that you are working on. So I hope that I can talk to you again soon. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. All right, everybody. I also want to mention to you that we have our next guest coming up is Rohan Preston, which, I love him. We are dear friends, he and his family. But I also want to mention that my brother Fred and I are doing a show at the Dakota that is coming up on Thanksgiving night. It's called Thanksgiving with Geraldine and Fred Steele. It's uplifting soul and pop music because I'm such a pop queen. The date and time is, of course, Thursday, November 23rd at 7 p.m. Doors open at 5:30. Tickets are anywhere from $25 to $35. Get your tickets. Come and check out Fred and I, and we are going to have a blast. The band is smoking! So don't miss it. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. Of course, it is time to talk a little bit about theater. And guess who's joining us? It is our own Rohan Preston, lead theater critic at the Star Tribune. And he has seen so many shows, I don't know how he ever goes to sleep. I'm sure his eyes are rolling around right now. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know how you take it in. You and I have talked about this before, but it's a lot to take in as a lead theater critic of the Star Tribune. You go and see so many shows and you never complain about any of it. So I'm grateful for that. So thank you for sharing with us who you go to see.
Yeah, well, no, thank you so much. You know, someone told me recently that you sound snippy. I said, no, I'm just being me. I'm just trying to be honest and to give our readers a fair, accurate picture of the scene that we have here, you know?
Right. So For the People was at the Guthrie. What did you think of it?
It's very funny. It's Larissa Fastors and Ty DeFoe, the playwrights, and they have done a rarity. It's a Native American play about Native American people and ideas and themes. And it's a first, of this caliber on the main stage at the Guthrie, because we've had other works, but nothing of like this, which is to say that the playwrights and most of the designers and the cast and all of that is indigenous. And it's very, very funny. It's set today. It's on Franklin Avenue as a young person, Native woman is trying to build a wellness center. And she's come back and she has to run it past the committee, a task force. And she also has to try to fend off a developer who wants to uptown the area.
Oh, very cool. How about that? I'm curious to know about Morris Nicolwhite. And I had read quite a bit about it at the Children's Theater. And you went to go see that as well?
I did. Morris Nicolwhite is, and the Tangerine Dress is about a boy who at school puts a tangerine dress over his outfit and is pretending to be an astronaut and all that, and he gets bullied a little and ostracized, and it's really just about his imagination, his innocence, his well-being, coming through all of that, but also how he helps to change his friends into becoming more accepting of his choices.
See, that's the piece I love. That's the thing I'll sit in the chair every time to hear it. It's
and
just
it's, and
beautiful.
It's beautiful. And it's, you know, it's obviously an anti-bullying show. You know, you could, yeah, you're absolutely right. You could never get enough of this, too.
Exactly. Wonderful. Wonderful. Girl from North Country. I heard about it. In fact, I interviewed someone from that show, and I'm curious to know what you thought of it.
That's the Bob Dylan number, and it was written by a team of mostly Europeans, and they used Bob Dylan's songs to tell this story of from 1934 and set in Duluth, and it's beautiful. For me, the first act was really just like flawless, and it stalls out a little bit in the second act, and I think that has to do with some pacing. Like the song, the numbers are really all, most of them are in a similar key and tempo. And so you don't have the wide variety. And you can tell that because at the very end of the show, they have a coda, which is a gospel number that's really uplifting. And of course, it's not earned per se in the show, but it's beautiful. And the show itself is beautiful. It's just I wish for a little more variety, you know?
Yeah. That's what I love about you. You really are quite candid about how you feel about the pieces. You really get to know the actors. Sometimes you've heard about them or you've seen them perform, but you really go deep with some of your reviews, and I appreciate that. What are you reviewing next?
Well, and I should say, actually, there are a couple other shows that happened this past week that I reviewed. One was at the History Theater, which is The Boy Wonder, and it's about our youngest governor, Harold Stassen, and it's a very similar review. Harold Stassen ran for president nine times.
Wow.
And he was a progressive Republican, which is a contradiction for many people to hear that, but it's true. And so, but he ran for president nine times, and so The Keith Hovis, who actually wrote the book, composed the music, very clever songs, beautiful performances at the History Theater. He struggled as well with how do you deal with that without it having it be Groundhog Day? You know, it's like how do you advance the story? And so he does. He struggles with that. So the first act, gorgeous, gorgeous, and the second act, you can see the struggle there as Harold Stassen goes through everything. There's that. But I did see one show that's really excellent, and it's called Rememory. It opened on Thursday, premiered on Thursday at the Number Theater. Nambi E. Kelly is the playwright, and it's about a hairdresser. It's a solo show. Shay Cage is the actor.
I love her. I just love her. I don't see her enough.
She plays all the parts in this hairdresser, beautician, who heals people's hair, basically. She has these dreams, and they come from her ancestors, and they come from ancestors, one in slavery, but also one in 1968, who's a sanitation worker in Memphis, just as Martin Luther King is coming for his last breath, basically. And then today, and she goes through all of these characters. Of course, it's a tour de force performance by Shay Cage, and really excellent writing by the playwright Nambi Kelly. And it's a one act as well. And it's a beautiful, beautiful production. So I was very, very pleased to see something that's just unvarnished excellent. You know?
And again, it's called Rememory?
Rememory, and and then memory is M-E-M-O-R-I, because the lead character's name is Memory Brooks, and she is the one who takes us through this journey. Excellent, really fierce performance by Shay Cage.
Have you ever cried at a piece that you hadn't seen before? You did? You did?
Yeah. I did. That's the power of the piece. You start out laughing because she's funny, she's sassy, she's all of this stuff, and then really just takes you in the journey. And the soundtrack includes a lot of water and what water means, you know, to people in general, but also historically. And so you have the memories, the plashing of this water, sort of jogging your memory until you feel something really, really profound.
You know, I have a dear friend who said to me years ago, she says, Geraldine, the next World War III is going to be all about water. And and I started thinking about it, and it brought me to tears. And I went, wow, if that's the case, can you imagine what that could look like in our nation as well as the rest of the world? That's the power of it, man. It's just so incredible. So Rememory from Penumbra. And, of course, they have also done great things at Penumbra when it comes to wellness. You talked about that a moment ago. So
yes, they are moving in that direction. So now they have wellness, a program for wellness, a program for equity, in addition to the theater and arts offerings as well. And one other thing I should say about the number thing, Chris Berry is a new, essentially, artistic director over there. He's the arts director, and he directed this show. So it's a real welcome statement from him that, you know, and that showing his talent. As well. So Penumbra is in good hands that way. Hooray, hooray, and bully for them.
Final question. Do you ever go, you and I talked about this before, you have seen shows that you didn't really like, or you did not take it under, you know, your wing and say, yeah, this is something I really want to support, but not right now. And I'm just curious to know, has it been a while since you said no? Or are you looking for just the ones where you need to say yes?
Yeah, I mean, I always want to say yes.
But should you always say yes?
No, you can't. And, you know, and I do want to go back. Actually, I think I'll go back to the Penumbra show. The night I saw it, Thursday night, it was really top-notch. I'm interested to see how it grows. But also for the people at the Guthrie, I'm interested to see how some of the jokes land. I know that there are people around me who wondered if they could laugh at some of the jokes because they're not Native American, and it's a very inside the culture show. But, you know, the truth of the matter is these are human beings, and these are human foibles that are being put on stage, and human ideas and jokes, frankly. And, whatever you find funny, you laugh.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? At the same time, there are moments when it can be very sad, and it can be very hurtful for some people. I remember a piece that...
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices. We'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Of course, it is time to talk a little bit about theater. And guess who's joining us? It is our own Rohan Preston, lead theater critic at the Star Tribune. And he has seen so many shows, I don't know how he ever goes to sleep. I'm sure his eyes are rolling around right now. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know how you take it in. You and I have talked about this before, but it's a lot to take in as a lead theater critic of the Star Tribune. You go and see so many shows and you never complain about any of it. So I'm grateful for that. So thank you for sharing with us who you go to see.
Yeah, well, no, thank you so much. You know, someone someone told me recently that you sound snippy. I said, no, I'm just being me. I'm just trying to be honest and to give our readers a fair, accurate picture of the scene that we have here, you know?
Right. So For the People was at the Guthrie. What did you think of it?
It's very funny. It's Larissa Fastor's entitled For the Playwrights, and they have done a rarity. It's a Native American play about Native American people and ideas and themes. And it's a first, of this caliber on the main stage at the Guthrie, because we've had other works, but nothing of like this, which is to say that the playwrights and most of the designers and the cast and all of that is indigenous. And it's very, very funny. It's set today. It's on Franklin Avenue as a young person, Native woman is trying to build a wellness center. And she's come back and she has to run it past the committee, a task force. And she also has to try to fend off a developer who wants to uptown the area.
Oh, very cool. How about that? I'm curious to know about Morris Nicolwhite. And I had read quite a bit about it at the Children's Theater. And you went to go see that as well?
I did. Morris Nicolwhite is, and the Tangerine Dress is about a boy who at school puts a tangerine dress over his outfit and is pretending to be an astronaut and all that, and he gets bullied a little and ostracized, and it's really just about his imagination, his innocence, his well-being, coming through all of that, but also how he helps to change his friends into becoming more accepting of his choices.
See, that's the piece I love. That's the thing I'll sit in the chair every time to hear it. It's beautiful.
And it's obviously an anti-bullying show. You're absolutely right. You could never get enough of this, too.
Exactly. Wonderful. Wonderful. Girl from North Country. I heard about it. In fact, I interviewed someone from that show, and I'm curious to know what you thought of it.
That's the Bob Dylan number, and it was written by a team of mostly Europeans, and they used Bob Dylan's songs to tell this story from 1934 and set in Duluth, and it's beautiful. For me, the first act was really just like flawless, and it stalls out a little bit in the second act, and I think that has to do with some pacing. Like the song, the numbers are really all, most of them are in a similar key and tempo, and so you don't have the wide variety. And you can tell that because at the very end of the show, they have a coda, which is a gospel number that's really uplifting. And of course, it's not earned per se in the show, but it's beautiful. And the show itself is beautiful. It's just I wish for a little more variety, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I love about you. You really are quite candid about how you feel about the pieces. You really get to know the actors. Sometimes you've heard about them or you've seen them perform, but you really go deep with some of your reviews, and I appreciate that. What are you reviewing next?
Well, and I should say, actually, there are a couple other shows that happened this past week that I reviewed. One was at the History Theater, which is The Boy Wonder, and it's about our youngest governor, Harold Stassen, and it's a very similar review. Harold Stassen ran for president nine times.
Wow.
And he was a progressive Republican, which is a contradiction for many people to hear that, but it's true. And so, but he ran for president nine times, and so The Keith Hovis, who actually wrote the book, composed the music, very clever songs, beautiful performances at the History Theater. He struggled as well with how do you deal with that without it having it be Groundhog Day. You know, it's like, how do you how do you advance the story? And so, yeah, he does. He struggles with that. So the first act, gorgeous, gorgeous, and the second act, you can see the struggle there as Harold Stassen goes through everything. There's that. But I did see one show that's really excellent, and it's called Rememory. It opened on Thursday, premiered on Thursday at the Number Theater. Nambi E. Kelly is the playwright, and it's about a hairdresser. It's a solo show. Shay Cage is the actor.
I love her. I just love her. I don't see her enough.
She plays all the parts in this hairdresser, beautician, who heals people's hair, basically. She has these dreams, and they come from her ancestors, and they come from ancestors, one in slavery, but also one in 1968, who's a sanitation worker in Memphis, just as Martin Luther King is coming for his last breath, basically. And then today, and she goes through all of these characters. Of course, it's a tour de force performance by Shay Cage, and really excellent writing by the playwright Nambi Kelly. And it's a one act as well, and it's a beautiful, beautiful production. So I was very, very pleased to see something that's just unvarnished excellent. You know?
And again, it's called Rememory?
Rememory, and and then memory is M-E-M-O-R-I, because the lead character's name is Memory Brooks, and she is the one who takes us through this journey. Excellent, really fierce performance by Shay Cage.
Have you ever cried at a piece that you hadn't seen before? You did? You did?
Yeah, I did. That's the power of the piece. You start out laughing because she's funny, she's sassy, she's all of this stuff. And then really just takes you in the journey. And the soundtrack includes a lot of water and what water means, to people in general, but also historically. And so you have the memories, the plashing of this water, sort of jogging your memory until you feel something really, really profound.
You know, I have a dear friend who said to me years ago, she says, Geraldine, the next World War III is going to be all about water. And I started thinking about it, and it brought me to tears. And I went, wow, if that's the case, can you imagine what that could look like in our nation as well as the rest of the world? That's the power of it, man. It's just so incredible. So Rememory from Penumbra. And, of course, they have also done great things at Penumbra when it comes to wellness. You talked about that a moment ago. So
yes, they're moving in that direction. So now they have wellness, a program for wellness, a program for equity, in addition to the theater and arts offerings as well. One other thing I should say about the Penumbra thing, Chris Berry is a new, essentially, artistic director over there. He's the arts director, and he directed this show. So it's a real welcome statement from him that showing his talent as well. So Penumbra is in good hands that way. Hooray, hooray, and bully for them.
Final question. Do you ever go, you and I talked about this before, you have seen shows that you didn't really like, or you did not take it under, you know, your wing and say, yeah, this is something I really want to support, but not right now. And I'm just curious to know, has it been a while since you said no? Or are you looking for just the ones where you need to say yes?
Yeah, I mean, I always want to say yes.
But should you always say yes?
No, you can't. And, you know... and I do want to go back. Actually, I think I'll go back to the Penumbra show. The night I saw it, Thursday night, it was really top-notch. I'm interested to see how it grows. But also for the people at the Guthrie, I'm interested to see how some of the jokes land. I know that there are people around me who wondered if they could laugh at some of the jokes because they're not Native American, and it's a very inside the culture show. But you know, the truth of the matter is, these are human beings, and these are human foibles that are being put on stage, and human ideas and jokes, frankly. And yeah, whatever you find funny, you laugh.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? At the same time, there are moments when it can be very sad, and it can be very hurtful for some people. I remember a piece that happened at the Guthrie years ago. I will not name it. And there were people that were terribly insulted by just one sentence that was said. And that's all it takes to turn the minds of the people who are trying to enjoy the piece. And I'm just curious to know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, you know, and I would love for you to be, you don't have to be even more, just to give me a little more hint just to know. But I think we know the difference between what's respectful and what's not. You really want, the creative team at the Guthrie here, the playwrights are Larissa Fast-Horse and Ty Defoe, and Michael John Garces is the director. Very smart creative team. And it's true, you can't control, once you put it out there, how people are going to receive it or what things your work may trigger, but you can do it with enough nuance and sort of competence that to know that, okay, if I direct a joke this way, it's a human joke. It's not a stereotype. And so what you're talking about, which is something I see and consider all the time, and people wrestle with it. They have to be very sort of mindful, very right. aware, you know, but right. I see it. I do see what you're saying, because I have seen shows where people are not aware. I remember many years ago seeing a character that basically was a mammy character on stage at a theater. And I mentioned it obliquely, but I mentioned it. And the director called me and said, "Oh, you're absolutely right. I didn't even realize that." You know, but I see it. It's so clear.
Yeah, you always see it when it's clear. You always do. Now, I just want to say to you one last thing, because I got to get to the last guest. You said what's respectful and what is not. If that's not a book for you to write, I don't know what is.
I know.
What's respectful and what is not? Please do that.
Well, we do know that. We know that. I mean, like, we know that in our families. We know that in our circles. We just know that. I mean, we're human beings, and we have very similar desires for fulfillment.
Yeah, all of that. But, you know, being human beings is being very difficult. It has become very difficult for us. You and I have to sit down and have coffee one day. Please tell the family I said hello. And I love having you on, so I hope you'll be on next Sunday as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Rohan. That is Rohan Preston, lead theater critic for the Star Tribune. All right. My next guest is coming up in just a moment. Feeling a little braver these days. Now, that's going to stick with me for the rest of the week. You want to know who that is? That is Scarlett Woods. She's a local musician. And close to you is the new big project that she's been working on. And Letters to the West is the album release show. It's going to be, I believe, at Kinko Coffee House. But I want to tell you more about Scarlett Woods. And she's joining us now right here at WCCO Radio. How are you, Scarlett?
Gerilyn, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I love your name, by the way. Scarlett Woods. That's just really cool. So Close to You, is that the name of the album?
No, the name of the album is Letters to the West.
Okay, there you go. And you have an album release show that's coming up at Ginkgo Coffee House in St. Paul on October 21st. And it's with Tony Malek supporting. There's a 7:30 showtime. Tickets are $20. So we want to make sure people know about this. If they want more information, they can go to kinkocoffee.com to get more about Scarlett Woods. Tell me, as you were putting this together for this album, Letters to the West, why was that the title?
Well, the story is from my time living out west. I lived in Oregon for 8 years, California for about 5 years, And I'm also, like, I feel very strongly about speaking to some issues in Western society. So when I say letters to the West, I mean, there's two things happening. There's Western society and the Western edge of the country.
Wow. Tell me more.
Oh, gosh. Well, most of the songs that are kind of based off of the West Coast are relationship-based. So there's a little peek into that part of my life and how I see and view romantic relationships, I suppose, as being born from Minnesota and moving away at 19 and then experiencing a life out West versus a life in the Midwest, I think kind of. It's a little different out there.
Oh, it's a huge jump, honey. I was in L.A. for a year. I lived there for a year, and I didn't want to leave. And I kept saying, Jolene, you got to go, honey. You got to get out. You need to go home and see about mom and family and friends and clients and that sort of thing. And I don't regret leaving, but I have to tell you, I had a ball in Los Angeles.
Yeah. It's a different culture. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as conservative and just, you know, we're a little, you know, the Midwests are a little bit more, I feel like, rooted into more family tradition and, you know, religion. And, you know, we kind of have a little bit more of those, statutes, I guess, in our culture.
Right. Now go ahead.
Anyways. I was finished on that.
Letters to the West was recorded with producer Kevin Bolt. That is huge. Huge.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Working with him, and I feel like I grew so much.
That's one of the things.
Because it took me like a year to do that. It took me a year. I'd never have done something that has taken me so long.
Oh, my God. 1 year? It could have been 10 years. Think about it.
Holy,
there are people who start out with an album and they have 19 songs, and by the time it's over, they got 7. So you've done a great job, you know, especially working with Kevin. So that's a really big deal. So what is your favorite thing about Letters to the West?
I feel like I'm on the verge of actually finding my voice. You know, that thing that you feel when you start to feel it and you're like, oh, I think I've found my voice. It doesn't sound like this, this, or this. It sounds like me. And I think I found a song on this project. And it's called You and I, parentheticals, Santa Cruz, California.
Oh.
And I think that song best describes me. Like, I think that's the one. If I keep going in that direction, I'm just going to, it's going to be fun.
Exactly.
That's what it's going to be.
You are on the journey of your life, honey. You are on the journey of your life.
That's right, I am.
That's a big deal. Yeah. I just want you to know,
when
you are flying high, I'll be looking for you. I will be looking for you going, you remember we talked about this and blah, blah, blah. You have great expectations, and that's exactly what you should have. This is a big deal. Keep going with the big deal, darling. Keep going.
Oh, I will. I certainly will.
I'm so sorry. We don't have enough time, but thank you for joining us, Scarlett Woods.
Yes, yes.
If people want to know more information, is there something big coming up very soon that everybody can go and hear the album?
You know, album release on the 21st of October, and then it blows up everywhere on October 27th is the national street date.
How about that? Congratulations.
Follow me
seriously.
On Spotify.
Spotify? All right, it'll be Spotify.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
Take care of yourself, Scarlett. Take care of that voice. Protect it with everything you got. And knock them out with the next album. Take care, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, thank you, dear.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
I like her so much. That's just cool. Thank you, everyone, for sticking and staying with us tonight. It has been a journey and absolutely wonderful. Good night, everyone. Feeling a little braver these days. Now, that's going to stick with me for the rest of the week. You want to know who that is? That is Scarlett Woods. She's a local musician. And Close to You is the new big project that she's been working on. And Letters to the West is the album release show. It's going to be, I believe, at Kinko Coffee House. But I want to tell you more about Scarlett Woods, and she's joining us now right here at WCCO Radio. How are you, Scarlett?
Geraldine, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I love your name, by the way, Scarlett Woods. That's just really cool. So Close to You, is that the name of the album?
No, the name of the album is Letters to the
Letters
West.
Letters to the West. Okay, there you go. And you have an album release show that's coming up at Ginkgo Coffee House in St. Paul on October 21st. And it's with Tony Malek supporting. There's a 7:30 showtime. Tickets are $20. So we want to make sure people know about this. If they want more information, they can go to kinkocoffee.com to get more about Scarlett Woods. Tell me, as you were putting this together for this album, Letters to the West, why was that the title?
Well, there's stories from my time living out west. I lived in Oregon for 8 years, California for about 5 years. And I'm also, like, I feel very strongly about speaking to some issues in Western society. So when I say Letters to the West, I mean, there's two things happening. There's Western society and the Western edge of the country.
Wow. Tell me more.
Oh, gosh. Well, most of the songs that are kind of based off of the West Coast are relationship-based. So there's a little peek into that part of my life and how I see and view romantic relationships, I suppose, as being born from Minnesota and moving away at 19 and then experiencing a life out West versus a life in the Midwest, I think kind of... It's a little different out there.
Oh, it's a huge jump, honey. I was in L.A. for a year. I lived there for a year, and I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave. And I kept saying, Joey, you got to go, honey. You got to get out. You need to go home and see about mom and family and friends and clients and that sort of thing. And I don't regret leaving, but I have to tell you, I had a ball in Los Angeles.
Yeah. It's a different culture. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as conservative and just, we're a little, the Midwest are a little bit more, I feel like, rooted into more family tradition and, religion. And, we kind of have a little bit more of those, statutes, I guess, in our culture.
Right. Now let us to the, go ahead.
Anyways. I was finished on that.
Letters to the West was recorded with producer Kevin Boat. That is huge. Huge.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Working with him, and I feel like I grew so much.
That's one of the things.
In that studio. Because it took me like a year to do that. It took me a year. I never have done something that has taken me so long.
Oh, my God. 1 year? It could have been 10 years. Think about it.
Holy
there are people who start out with an album and they have 19 songs, and by the time it's over, they got 7. So you've done a great job, especially working with Kevin. So that's a really big deal. So what is your favorite thing about Letters to the West?
I feel like I'm on the verge of actually finding my voice. You know, that thing that you feel when you start to feel it and you're like, oh, I think I've found my voice. It doesn't sound like this, this, or this. It sounds like me. And I think I found a song on this project. And it's called You and I, parentheticals, Santa Cruz, California.
Oh.
And I think that song best describes me. Like, I think that's the one. If I keep going in that direction, I'm just gonna, it's gonna be fun.
Exactly.
That's what it's gonna be.
You are on the journey of your life, honey. You are on the journey of your life.
That's right, I am.
That's a big deal. Yeah. I just want you to know
when
you are flying high, I'll be looking for you. I will be looking for you going, you remember we talked about this and blah, blah, blah. You have great expectations, and that's exactly what you should have. This is a big deal. Keep going with the big deal, darling. Keep going.
Oh, I will. I certainly will.
I'm so sorry. We don't have enough time, but thank you for joining us, Scarlett Woods.
Yes.
If people want to know more information, is there something big coming up very soon that everybody can go and hear the album?
You know, album release on the 21st of October, and then it blows up everywhere on October 27th is the national street date.
How about that? Congratulations.
Follow me
seriously.
On Spotify.
Spotify? All right, it'll be Spotify.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
Take care of yourself, Scarlett. Take care of that voice, protect it with everything you got, and knock them out with the next album. Take care, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, thank you, dear.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
I like her so much. That's just cool. Thank you, everyone, for sticking and staying with us tonight. It has been a journey and absolutely wonderful. Good night, everyone.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.